Satalasya Bhagavan Vilakshitaha. Na, not etat, this, bata, indeed, adisha, O Lord, padab, material world, tava, your, ipsitab, desire, yat, which, maya, by your external energy, for us, tanushe, you manifest, bhuta sukshma, the elements gross and subtle. Anugrahaya, for bestowing mercy. Astu, let it be. Api, also. Yarhi, when. Mayaya, through your causeless mercy. Lasat, splendid. Tulasya, with a wreath of tulasi leaves. Bhagavad, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vilakshitaha, is perceived. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us, for you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with a splendid wreath of tulasi leaves. Purport. It is clearly stated here that the material world is not created by the personal will of the Supreme Lord. It is created by His external energy because the living entities want it, want to enjoy it. This material world is not created for those who do not want to enjoy sense gratification, who constantly remain in transcendental loving service and who are eternally Krishna conscious. For them, the spiritual world is eternally existing and they enjoy there. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that for those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this material world is useless because this material world is full of danger at every step. It is not meant for the devotees, but for living entities who want to lord it over the material energy at their own risk. Krishna is so kind that He allows the sense-enjoying living entities a separate world created by Him to enjoy as they like, yet at the same time He appears in His personal form. The Lord unwillingly creates this material world, but He descends in His personal form or sends one of His reliable sons or a servant or a reliable author like Vyasadeva to give instruction. He Himself also instructs in His speeches of the Bhagavad Gita. This propaganda work goes on side by side with the creation to convince the misguided living entities who are rotting in this material world to come back to Him and surrender unto Him. Therefore, the last instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is this. Give up all your manufactured engagements in the material world and just surrender unto Me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. There are many Planetary systems, 14 planetary systems in the world, in the universe. Swargaloka is aspired to by the inhabitants of the lower system, where we live. They dream of attaining Swarga, where they can enjoy without restriction for a very long time. But Swargaloka is not the highest planet, even the highest material planet. Above Swargaloka are Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, Satyaloka, four other systems. These are inhabited by the sages, rishis, living entities who are real intellectuals, who have given up all materialistic pursuits and are simply engaged in meditation on the Supreme, or on worshipping Him by performing sacrifices. In Maharloka, the inhabitants are also grihastas. They have their wives and children. Only on the three higher systems is everybody celibate, renunciant. But even the sages like Bhrigu and others who live on Maharloka, they are vastly superior to the demigods who live in Swargaloka. Because the demigods of Swargaloka are creators and administrators. But the sages on Maharloka, they are teachers and spiritual leaders. The Brahmin is always superior to the Kshatriya. Because the demigods who are like the Kshatriyas, the original Kshatriyas, they work in the mode of passion, creative function, administrative function, defending function. This is all Rajoguna. But the sages, they are using their intelligence in the mode of goodness. They're not engaged in violence against any creature, but they teach. Both classes of leaders in society, the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, are working together to maintain Dharma, the principles of religion, the law of God, the order, peace and order of the universe. Kshatriyas and Brahmanas work together for that. But the Kshatriyas use force and violence and administrative strength, creative strength, to create the worlds, to populate the worlds, to defend the worlds against their enemies, the demons, and to see that everyone stays within the limits of his dharma, if necessary by force and violence. This is the job of the demigods and other kshatriyas, kings on the earth as well. So they are maintaining the principles of religion, dharma, by the strength of their arms. But the brahmanas are also, beginning with the great sages, who are sons, mind-born sons of Brahma, and down to the human beings who are living as brahmanas on the earth. They are helping also to maintain dharma, the principles of religion, but in a different way, in a non-violent way, in the mode of goodness, by studying, by teaching, by performing sacrifice for themselves and for others, by accepting charity and by giving charity. Patanam patanam yajanam yajanam danam pratigraha. These are the special occupations of the brahmanas. And this is also what the great sages do. Prabhupada talks about authors, transcendental authors like Vyasadeva. And there are other sages who have provided for us, the human race, access to the eternal Vedas, Vedas and Upanishads. There are great rishis who have received in their meditation the mantras of the Vedas. There are other rishis who have taught us the Upanishads. Others, like Swayambhuva Manu. He's also a great sage, although he's the first Kshatriya. He's the Manu, so that's also a Kshatriya function. But he also performed, he's like a Rajarshi. He's king when we're going to read. In this chapter, chapter 21, how after getting the blessings of Lord Vishnu, Kardama, when he's blessed, yes, you will get a good wife. And that is arranged by the Lord by inspiring Swayambhuva Manu, who has a daughter who he has to marry, to go look for the husband. And inspires him as the supersoul to come to the ashram of Kardama Muni. So this meeting will be there. And the father who's giving away his bride, he's in the role of a kshatriya, of a king. He's riding on his chariot to give his daughter away. And Kardama is taking the role of the brahmana. But that same king, Swayambhuva, is also a great sage. He is Rajarshi. Because he has also presented Shastra. The brahmanas, they present the Dharma Shastras. I'm sorry. The Vedas, Upanishads. And then someone like Swayambhuva Manu, who is, we can say, performing dual function, Kshatriya and Brahmana. He and others present the Dharma Shastras, the scriptures that teach how human beings should behave in this world. In the spiritual world, there is no need for any Dharma Shastra, for a book that tells you the right way to behave. Because in Vaikuntha, everyone is impelled by love to do always the right thing for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And therefore the devotees always treat each other in the proper way. There is no violation of etiquette. Maryada vivyatikrama is not found in the spiritual world. And therefore you don't need a book, a shastra, to tell you, you know, to not to eat with your left hand and so many other things. Nobody in Vaikuntha would, spontaneously, no one in Vaikuntha would eat with his left hand or do anything else wrong. Because they have love of God. If you have love of God, nobody has to tell you what to do. You know what to do. Yasmin vigatam sarvam eva vigatam bhavati. If you know the absolute truth, then you know everything. You won't be omniscient like God, but God will give you the information you need when you need it. If you have an inclination to eat with your left hand, Krishna will whisper into your ear, don't do that. Use the other hand. You don't need a book or some other teacher to tell you. Krishna himself will give you that information as the supersoul. That is love of God. Spontaneous attraction to always do the right thing. To serve Krishna in love is always the right thing. And one who intends to serve Krishna in love, he also knows everything else to be done, including which hand to eat with and every small detail of the Dharma Shastras. He doesn't need the book. That is the difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunatha Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti, we have to be guided by the book. Because we're not, in Vaidhi Bhakti, we're beyond Karmakanda. So we're not following the Dharma Shastras, but we're following the instructions of our Vaishnav Smritis. Rupa Goswami has given instruction in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. How to practice Shuddha Bhakti. Rules and regulations are presented. Hari Bhakti Vilas gives more rules and regulations, especially about worshipping Krishna as a deity. Other books, even the Babaji's have their textbooks written by Dhyana Chandra Goswami and Gopal Guru. How to be a Babaji, how to practice this Raghunatha Bhakti. The rules and regulations are there. But actually, there's a difference. In Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we're motivated by the rules of the Shastra and the instructions of the Guru. That is the basis of our service. But in Raghunuga Bhakti, although we still follow the rules and obey our guru, that never stops. But the prime motivation for service is spontaneous love in Raghunuga Bhakti. That's the difference. If you're not feeling the impulse of love, then you're not ready for Raghunuga Bhakti. So these books are only required in the material world. This textbook of Dharma Shastra. You only need a book to tell you how to behave if you're a conditioned soul. But there are many conditioned souls in this material world. And sages like Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, they have the responsibility of guiding these living entities. Manu is not just a king. A king executes the law. But a Rajarshi helps write the law. He wrote the book, Manu Smriti. He formulated the rules. That's the business of a sage, not of an ordinary administrator. So, although we see here that Swayambhuva is a very great soul, he knows how to deal with pure devotees. Kardama is not only a paka brahmana, and therefore the kshatriya has to be careful in dealing with the brahmana. There must be always proper respect. And the brahmana must always show proper appreciation for the kshatriya. There must be mutual respect. And we'll read in this chapter how perfectly Swayambhuva and Kardama deal with one another. How properly. They appreciate one another, even though they're different. But Kardama is not only a brahmana, he's a pure devotee. He's gotten the blessings, not only the audience of Lord Narayan. Daksha Prajapati also got the audience, but he didn't get the full blessings. He couldn't fully surrender to the Lord. Kardama has surrendered. Even though he's complaining, I have this material desire and therefore I'm useless. But that's his humility. Actually, he's fully surrendered to Lord Narayan and he's getting the full blessings. Not just, okay, you'll get a good wife. That wife, putvarte griyate bharya. A wife should be taken to get a son. That's also material. Putra pinda prayojanam. You want a son who can do the shraddha for you when you die. And then people have actually much more materialistic motives. In Kali Yuga, people get married just to have sex. Although now we're so advanced, even in India, you don't need to get married to have sex anymore. If you're from a rich family, even the girls are having illicit sex now. Of course, the problem is nobody wants to marry them then. You know, they have the freedom to have sex, but then who wants to marry them? Then they have to go to Australia or someplace to get married. Anyway, that's the modern advancement. But up till a few years ago in India, if you wanted sex, you had to get married. But that's materialistic. The proper religious standard is you get married to have a son who will save you from going to hell. Or at least take over the business. You know, more than just enjoyment for sex. Something more proper. But Kardama's motive is not that. He's asking for a wife. The inspiration is actually coming from Narayan. Lord Kapiladev, it's his purpose to appear in this world. And he has chosen Kardama Muni to be his father. So that desire in Kardama Muni's heart is not really material. He's thinking it's material. He's saying it's material. But we shouldn't believe him. He's a pure devotee. How else will the Supreme Lord become his son unless he's a pure devotee? So that we will see. How Swayambhuva knows how to deal with a pure devotee like Kardama. He knows who Kardama is. And therefore he deals with him very nicely. Because Swayambhuva is also a pure devotee. That we discover later on in the third canto. Where it's revealed how Swayambhuva Manu, even though he was a kshatriya and a grihastha, even though he was very busy with his administrative responsibilities, and with his teaching responsibilities, he always engaged every day in his own home in hearing Harikatha with great enthusiasm and relish. That guaranteed his perfection. It is stated that Swayambhuva Manu at the end of his life went back to Godhead. He attained ultimate perfection, love of God, simply by his engagement in regular, constant, everyday hearing the glories of Krishna. So he's a pure devotee also. He will get his perfection also. Kardama will get his. Swayambhuva will get his. When such devotees come together and work together for the glorification of Krishna, then everything is glorious. So this is very auspicious narration. The rest of the second canto will be dedicated to how the description of how Lord Kapila appeared, and then the instructions that he gives to his mother Devahuti. So a very nice section of Srimad Bhagavatam, given to us by the grace, the kindness of Vidura and Maitreya, who are speaking this discussion. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Yes.
Should I read it? Yes. 19. Second energy you call Yoga Maya. Let me look at the Sanskrit. Dvitiya. Dvitiya ya. Sashikshaya. Dvitiya ya. Atman. Adi Yoga. Maya ya. Well, he creates the material world with that energy, right? Ekak Swayam San Jagatak Sushikshaya. So this is the energy he uses to create the material world.
It's called Yoga Maya also.
Also sometimes called Yoga Maya. Yes. Naham Prakashak Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavita. So actually both the Mayas are Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya, in one sense, one meaning is that the Yoga Maya that makes illusion, confusion. Yes, that yoga is magic, delusion. It's like a magician makes the rabbit disappear and then pulls it out of his hat. So that's a magic trick. So that's the Yoga Maya. But that Yoga Maya appears in two different ways. For the conditioned souls, rebellious souls, she creates material illusion. That's really what we call Mahamaya. It's the material expansion of Krishna's energy, the inferior energy. Mahamaya we distinguish from Yoga Maya usually. But it's also called Yoga Maya. Naham Prakashak Sarvasya. I'm not known by everybody in this world because I'm covered over by my material energy. But in another sense, there is the spiritual, original Yoga Maya, who creates Krishna's pastimes by covering over the consciousness of the devotees. Especially in the intimate devotional service of Goloka, of Vrajadam, the devotees have to not be thinking about how Krishna is God. Actually, they know that Krishna is God. They're the greatest sages, the Vrajavasis. They know better than any rishi, any jnani, that Krishna is God. But they forget it by the influence of Yoga Maya. Mother Yashoda cannot be thinking about how Krishna is God and have her loving relationship with Krishna. Even she sees the universal form, the whole universe in his abdomen. She's stunned, shocked, amazed to see it. But 5 seconds later, she forgets it. And is just thinking how Krishna must be hungry and needs to be fed. That is Yoga Maya. That even you just saw the universe in Krishna's belly, you forget about it. It's like there are thousands of stars in the sky, but because the sun is so bright, you don't see them. The fact that Krishna is God is there. Nobody forgets it. But they ignore it because of Yoga Maya. But that's also illusion. The Lord himself lets himself be affected by his Yogamaya. He forgets himself in the form of Mahaprabhu. Very often he's under the influence of his own Yogamaya by his choice. So that is a different kind of illusion, spiritual illusion, that is necessary for Krishna's intimate pastimes. They're both called Yogamaya, but properly speaking, that spiritual energy that's really Yogamaya. And better to call the material energy Mahamaya. But still, Shastras very often use Yogamaya for both. Krishna does in the Gita, this verse does, other verses in the Bhagavatam do. We have to see from context. We can see right here. This is the energy by which he creates the material world. And it's called Dvitiya. His first energy is the spiritual energy. His second energy is the material energy. So there's a clear indication which one we're talking about here. Anekarta, words very often have more than one meaning. But you tell from context, from how the word is being used. Lord Parshuram fought with Arjuna. There's more than one Arjuna. There's two Arjunas we know about, but which we can tell which one. It must be Kartavirya Arjuna. With no history that Arjuna, the son of Pritha, fought with Parashuram. I don't think so. Did he? He fought with Indra, but he never fought with Parashuram. So when you see the statement that the fight between Bhargava and Arjuna, that Arjuna must be the other one, Kartavirya, from context. Even though the word has more than one meaning, you can tell. Okay? Yes?
Was Manu like the ruler of the whole earth?
Of the earth, of the whole human race. That may go beyond just what we know as the earth. The Boer locus system and the whole human race. And then the whole human race are called the Manavas, the descendants of Manu, because he's the founder of the human race. Later on, first of all, he was the ruler. The first Prabhupada says Ikshvaku, the son of Vairasvata Manu, this is the seventh Manu, that Ikshvaku was the first ruler of the earth, the first king on the earth, in this current Manvantara. And that Ikshvaku was the son of Vairasvata Manu. So first of all, Manu is the ruler of the whole thing, and then for his sons he divides it up. Priyavratu, who also became Manu, he did that also. He divided up the earth into seven or nine dvipas. And he gave each of his sons one of the dvipas. Wait, did Priyavratu become Manu?
Yeah,
which one? His third one? I don't know. Anyway. Yes, Prabhu?
You see, you were mentioning that material world, that they are looking for sun for offering oblations to them.
Yes.
So what about those who remain unmarried, and they remain unmarried and they leave the body? And what about, if they are taken up to Krishna consciousness, then what happens? And what about the brahmacharis and the sannyasis?
Well, for the brahmacharis who don't become devotees, the situation might be difficult. Therefore, some say that better you become grihastha first and then get married, have a son, and then take sannyas. But actually, I know a statement that for one who is serving Vishnu, if he fails, if the samskaras are not all performed for him, including this, antyeshti and shraddha, that 33,000 sages will do them for him. His rishis will come and do his shraddha for him if he has no son. But that's a Vaishnav. So I don't know about the brahmachari sannyasi who's not a Vaishnav. There must be some arrangement for them. I'm sure that they're taken care of also. I just don't know the statement. I know about Vaishnavs and they have no problem. Even if there's rituals that are failed to be performed, even their shraddha, that the rishis themselves will do the shraddha for a Vaishnav. And someone who, even if he's not a Vaishnava, if he takes the renounced order for the purpose of spiritual advancement, I'm sure that he's excused. When someone takes sannyas, rituals were done as if he's died. You know, so the Shraddha is done, you know, for him when he takes sannyas. It's a part of the sannyas ritual, although it may not be. It may not say that, but a man who takes sannyas, he's materially dead. And by doing the samskara of taking sannyas, all the proper rituals for a dead man are already performed. But especially the Vaishnavas, the demigods and sages will protect him. They will, if necessary, they'll come and do the shraddha for him. Who was that devotee, Lord, that Krishna himself came and did the shraddha? Govinda Ghosh. Okay. He's the father of Vasudeva Ghosh, or no? Or the other way around? Brother of Vasudeva Ghosh, okay. And he had no son, or?
Son died.
A son died, therefore he couldn't do the shraddha. So Krishna did the shraddha. Okay. And in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we don't care too much about doing shraddha. You perform some kirtana, then your ancestors are saved. That just doing Nam Sankirtan includes the shraddha and all the other samskaras. Gopabhatta Goswami, or rather Sanatana Goswami and Gopabhatta Goswami, they give instructions how to do shraddha. But I think in his Satkriya Sardipika, in the introduction, Gopabhatta Goswami explains how it's not so essentially important for the pure Vaishnavas to even do the ritual of shraddha. That by doing their Nam Sankirtan and their Bhakti Yoga, everything is done already.
What about not pure Vaishnavas?
Well, if they're Mishra Bhaktas. But if they're practicing the program of Rupa Goswami, that is pure devotional service. We may not be pure, but our practice is pure. What we're practicing is pure. Therefore, we don't have to do... Prabhupada never gave us instruction to perform shraddha. Never. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did shraddha for his father, but in our line, we're not even given any instruction to do that. Not only because we're mleches and we're not qualified, we're being told to do things that we shouldn't be qualified for, but we're authorized to do it, to be gurus. So we're appointed to be guru, but we're not qualified to do shraddha. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram, Jai Raj Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. No, it's not that we're not qualified, it's just that it's not essential for us. The purpose of doing the shraddha is already fulfilled by serving Krishna and performing Nam Sankirtan. Okay, yeah. So thank you, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Baholashtami Shri Radha Kund Avri Bhav Maha Mahotsav Ki Jai.